We had another great modern Shakespeare scholar in our studios, Stephen Greenblatt, the man whose biography of Shakespeare, Will in the World, was on the New York Times bestseller list for weeks. So Steve thought he'd check in with him about this claim that there is no written evidence that Shakespeare was Shakespeare.
Depends what you mean by written evidence. There's plenty of written evidence in the sense that Shakespeare was celebrated in his lifetime as the author of his plays and poems, that his name is repeatedly used on title pages in order to sell plays when they were marketed in Shakespeare's lifetime, that 7 years after Shakespeare died, a huge edition of his works came out with his picture on it and dedicatory letters from a large number of people who knew him personally, starting with Ben Jonson, but many other people.
Weren't there also some people, or wasn't there speculation that someone else had written the plays, even in Shakespeare's lifetime?
No, none. The speculation that someone else had written the plays is a 19th century phenomenon. And it's an interesting phenomenon, and its longevity is an interesting phenomenon, the fact that people keep coming back to this question now. But it's a very, very late moment, comes hundreds of years. No one in Shakespeare's lifetime ever raised a hint of the thought that someone else might have written the plays. It's true that Shakespeare, because of his modest background, the son of a middle-class glover from Stratford, Shakespeare flies under the radar of interest of a biographical kind at the time, and that would be true of almost any writer of that class. You'd have to have come from a much different social class as, let's say, Sir Philip Sidney from an aristocratic background to get people interested in your life as such. No one was interested in the life of the son of a Stratford Glover.
Even though he became a very prominent playwright.
Yeah, but they it just wasn't part of the... That's an interesting phenomenon, but it's a larger sociological phenomenon. People didn't think that people from that class deserved, as it were, biographical attention.
Hmm.
But
now,
it's also the case that more tellingly or more for the point of view of those people who want to challenge Shakespearean authorship, no manuscripts survive of the play, so we can't verify anything that way. The only manuscript is the manuscript of this play written by multiple hands, Sir Thomas More, that was not performed. And then I think very interestingly, in his last will and testament, Shakespeare's last will and testament, which does survive, there's no mention of his rights to the theater, his partial ownership of the theater, or any other aspect of the theatrical world that he was part of.
But there is mention of other things. I mean, he's very specific about leaving, pens to actor friends and a silver bowl to someone, a bed. I mean, there are these various things, but it has no reference to his work in the theater, which seems odd.
Yes, it is odd. The reference to the theater, it comes in the sense of he refers to people like John Hemmings, who was a fellow actor of his. In other words, we know from many, many other documents that survive in the period that William Shakespeare was a member of the company, and that's confirmed, as it were, that way by the last will and testament. But he doesn't leave, for example, he doesn't bequeath his share in the acting company to his fellows, and he doesn't bequeath books to his daughter, Susanna, for example. There's no specific mention of a library. He must have owned
books. Lots of books.
Well, maybe not lots, but some.
I mean, he was a tremendously learned man.
Yeah, we could have read it at his friend Nathan Field, the printer, but he must have owned books. He was a wealthy man as well. So what can we conclude from that? One thing is people have collected now lots of wills from the period, playhouse wills, they call them, and this is not so anomalous. There are lots of people who dispose of that aspect of their wealth in different ways, partly to avoid what we would call probate, but the equivalent of that, which in Shakespeare's case, I think, was largely to avoid his wife Anne's getting very much of it.
Hmm. So, but you don't think there was a larger concerted effort by Shakespeare to sort of keep his name off of document, off of written plays? I mean, it is striking that there are no manuscripts left. I mean, what eventually became the plays?
Certainly no concerted effort to keep his name off plays. His name appears on many plays as the author of many
plays.
But
in terms of the actual, I mean, finding his written pen, it's just, you almost can't find that anymore.
Yeah, my paper is expensive. My sense is that there's two answers to this question, I think. One is that no one thought of these things as very valuable or as having any value at all. I think they thought of them as probably having more value to wrap things or to burn in a fire on a cold night. But the other thing is, I think Shakespeare was quite cautious about his name. I think that he was determined and was extremely good at staying out of jail. which is not so easy if you led a public life as a writer.
Now, the Shakespeare doubters have put forward an alternative person who might have written these plays, Edward de Vere, an aristocrat who, I mean, if you do look at some of the circumstances in his life, they seem to parallel a lot of what happens in the plays. He lived in Italy for extended periods, and Shakespeare set a number of his plays, especially in Venice, which de Vere knew very well. How do you respond to that line of argument?
Well, the great thing about Edward de Vere is that he's someone who went to university and is of the right social class, because behind a lot of this desire, at least from the 19th century on, maybe it's faded slightly, but was the almost desperate embarrassment at having a middle-class person, Glover's son, Will Merchant's son, who didn't go to university. So neither university nor the right social class be England's national poet. So if you believe that you have to be of the right social class and you believe that you need a university degree, which in Shakespeare's time meant largely a degree in theology, if you think that those things are requirements for being a great artist, playwright, then you frantically look around for someone else who might have been the real William Shakespeare. And de Vere is a perfectly good candidate for that. I happen not to think that a university degree or the right social class are requirements for being a great artist. Do you? I mean, is this actually something that we think is needed? The imagination is ours. It's universal. That's why Shakespeare, who had an unusual, absolutely astonishing command of this, but that's why Shakespeare is now what he is for all of us, because he knows how to tap into something that's our possession. You don't have to go to university for this. You don't have to have the right background. You have it in your head already. And he knew how to get that more than any artist in the modern world. He knew how to tap into what we all possess democratically. And I think that is the continuing and enduring power of this work.
Stephen Greenblatt is the author of Will in the World, among many other works. He talked with Steve Paulson.